Well, my name is Danielle, and I do a couple things around here at church. I'm the homeschool director at the time, and we have about 200 families. Cheryl's my assistant. No, I'm her assistant. We assist each other. And we really enjoy doing that. And Denise is a good friend of mine and asked if I would share on, I think, probably one of the best chapters in Joshua, don't you? I mean, it's just like so rich and so full. And so I wanted to hear from the Lord and not listen to Cheryl Brodesen's message, because I knew if I heard hers, I would like compare hers to mine and go, oh, I should have said that. I should have said that. So I asked the Lord before I heard Cheryl, and he gave me a word, and it's a little different than hers, and which I'm thankful for, because, you know, we're all different people and the Lord has something for each of us. So I wanted to ask you a question. Have you, any of you out there, ever received a strange instruction from the Lord? And you don't have to answer. It's like kind of a redundant question. God often gives us kind of simple, strange things to do, doesn't he? He often will say something and we'll go, man, are you sure, Lord? That's all I need to do is just do this one simple thing. I mean, I could go do that and I could go join that club and do that and help that lady. He's like, no, just do this. Do this next thing next. And so when we think about that, we think about Noah. You know, God asked him to build an ark, a large boat. He was faithful to do it. He built it. It took 100 years. And there was no need to have a boat in the middle of the land. You know, it was just a very odd instruction. And yet we know the outcome. God totally used that and saved his family. I was thinking of Joseph, too. The Lord said, you're going to have a dream. You're going to be a great leader. And what does he do? He gets falsely accused and put in prison. And we know the outcome of that one. And also Peter, he had a dream that he was to eat unclean animals. He's like, what? Go kill and eat. He's like, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. But he got up, walked, and obeyed, and the Lord used that for the Gentiles to hear the message. So each one of them had what we call active faith. We can all have faith. Oh, yeah, sure, I believe that. I believe in Jesus. I believe in everything. You know, I just believe. But to actively believe and to actually actively do and follow that instruction is, I think, the word that the Lord has us for tonight. One of my walls was my biological dad. My dad here, my stepdad, is the pastor of the seniors ministry, and my mom, they serve the seniors. But my biological dad was a little stinker, and he basically left my mom and my sister and I when I was 10 years old for another wife and her kids. And I received the Lord when I was 7, 8. I had a personal encounter with the Lord after hearing the gospel explained to my mom. My mom then received the Lord, my sister received the Lord, but my dad completely rejected God, and so he blamed Jesus for the divorce. And he was a very angry person, but my mom taught me to pray for him. So we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and he became my walls. Like, Lord, you know, every Sunday school class, I have a prayer request, you know, my dad get saved, my dad would stop smoking, my dad would stop drinking. You know, it was always about my dad for years. And so he was one of my first walls. And the Lord was so faithful and so good. He supported my mom, God did, and he got us into a private school. He actually started here at MCA, and then there was no high school. So we ended up at a very charismatic high school called Melody Land. I don't know if you remember that church. And we went to high school there, and the Lord financially provided for us to do that. Well, being from Calvary Chapel, the Word, very calm, very stable, and going to the chapels, it got pretty rowdy, got pretty wild. My sister and I, when they'd have a speaker, I don't know if you know, it was like a round room, and you know, the speaker would stand in the middle, and he'd preach, and people were like getting slain in the spirit, and my sister and I would just like slink lower and lower in our seats, like, oh my gosh, don't look at me, don't pick me, because he would have the speaker would have people come down and be filled with the spirit, and my sister and I were like, no, thank you. And then my senior year, there was a man who came up and he had some prophecies. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. I've never heard this before. He was very calm. He was like reasonable, you know. And He asked for us to come down if we'd want to receive the Holy Spirit or if he could give us a word or whatever. And I reluctantly heard the Lord go down there. And I went down there. There was a whole group of kids. Some kids were crying. Some kids were, you know, laughing. It was just really kind of bizarre. But I knew God told me to go down there. And so I went down, and it was like the people parted, and I was just me and the speaker. And he said, in the future, God is going to use your smile for him. That was it. And I thought, wow, okay, that's easy. I can smile. But I just felt like that was a complete word from the Lord. I left there. That was my senior year. I graduated high school. I went on with my life. And I went to college, Orange Coast College. And I was in this class. It was a child development class. It was the first week. And the teacher got a word at the door. She came to me and she said, Danielle, your dad's in the hospital. And you need to go to the hospital now. And so I packed up my things, went to the hospital, and there was my dad. He was a diabetic, and he had clipped his toenail, and it had gotten infected, and he had let it go for like 7 days, and so gangrene was already starting to set in. And I looked at this man on the bed that I'd been so afraid of and so mad at and so frustrated with, you know, promises, 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 and they never came through. And I looked at him there, and the Lord just gave me compassion for him. And I smiled at him, and I just said, Dad, I love you. And so for the next week, we went through this incredible cycle. I was the only one that went. His wife left him. I'm not dealing with you. The nurses really didn't want to deal with him. He was very belligerent, very profane, and not a nice person to be around. So I was there as much as I could. I took the week off of school. Incidentally, my teacher was there. Her husband had a heart attack that night, and I was able to share and pray with her, the same teacher that called me out. So the Lord used that as well. But anyways, so my dad, you know, the Lord gave me a chance to minister to him and love on him. And every day I came in, and the Lord reminded me to smile, and I just kept smiling. My dad got put into one of those iron lungs, and he was just screaming and crying. He's like, Daniel, just let me die. Just want to die. Please let them just kill me. You know, he was just at a really desperate level, but my smile kept him going. I mean, that's what God used. And so that weird instruction that I obeyed was from the Lord, and that's all I had to do. It was simple. God equipped me to do that one thing, and in that, I received my instruction, then I waited on the Lord, and when the time came, I obeyed him. Stepped out in faith and I obeyed him. It was hard serving my dad because he was so mean. He was funny, but he was mean. It was hard, a little different. But then the battle ensued. For the next 20 years or so, we had a rocky relationship. He fought the Lord. He was married 5 times, numerous live-ins, and just really, really trying to do his own thing and just fought God 100%. But after 26 years of praying in my Sunday school classes, and school and life, my dad accepted Jesus. He called me one day and said, Danielle, I'm taking the high road with you. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I received Jesus this weekend. And he happened to be in the hospital again. And, you know, basically his body was falling apart. And 4 years later, he passed and went to heaven. But my wall was so big, so cumbersome, there's no way I could take it down. But I had obeyed the simple instruction. I smiled at my dad and I loved him. Even when he was mean to me, I just kept smiling because I knew that's what God wanted me to do. So the battle ensued and then the plan unfolded. And then guess who gets the glory? God. I mean, amen. He's so good. And I can relate that a lot to Joshua, the story of Joshua that we're studying tonight. God, at the beginning of the chapter, says, arise and take possession of the land. You're like, what, really? That's, you know, it's got a wall around it. I can't see it. I have a team of complaining people. How do we do that? And he received his instruction. And Cheryl said it so perfectly, because when I read through that, it takes a couple seconds to read through it. But it was one day all the way around. And then the next day, all the way around. And these people are not seeing progress, and they're not allowed to talk. They can't complain. They can't murmur. They can't do anything about their situation. They have to just be quiet. And so they go around third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. This takes 6 days. That's a long time of marching and no progress. I mean, I bet you they're kind of like imagining something's going to happen. They're working, they're doing their part, and nothing. And even on the seventh day, God has them go around 6 times on that day, and still nothing. And it's got to be growing in their heart, like, God, do you even see this? Are you really telling us to do the thing you're telling us to do? Now, the priests were, of course, to blow the trumpets, people to march and be quiet. There's guys carrying the ark, and everybody had a job. And it was a simple job, really. They just had to march around and yell and at the end and blow. And that's what I love about God, is he really didn't need them to do that. I mean, he could have just, you know, put his hands out and fought it, and the wall could have fallen down. But he wanted to experience what he wants to do, his power, his glory, his rescue. He wants them to be part of it. He wants us to be part of that promise. And so they marched around, and on, you know, the last time when they shouted, the wall fell flat, and the people, wherever they were, went up, straight up, over and in, and conquered that city. I mean, that's an amazing miracle, amazing miracle. But when the time came, the people fully obeyed. Now, even before, when they crossed the Red Sea, they had fully obeyed. The Lord did great things. But this is their children. Those people had all passed. This is that second and third generation of people. And they followed the word to the T. And how important, how critical that is. I'm dealing with that. I have 5 adult children living in my home right now. My kids are all home. My married son and his wife are there. And it's a really challenging time, because I'm trying to not be a mother to them so much as, like, if they come to me, I'll give them advice in a sense. But, you know, these are the things that I've taught you guys. Don't touch that. Don't do that. The consequences of that are great. You know, God says. And so very subtly, and I try to keep my mouth quiet as much as possible, but, you know, reminding them of the things that have happened in the past so that we can look to the future and go, yep, God's going to do it. He said he's going to do it. That's what I'd like to challenge, encourage you tonight, is to, if you don't have a promise from the Lord for something that's a wall, ask for a promise. We can cash all of those promises in, every single one of them. They're all ours. It's not like that one's for you and that one's for me. Oh, I can't have that. That's too great. No, all of God's promises are yes and amen. So the battle ensued. They rescued Rahab, who's in the lineage of Jesus, just like God promised that she and her family would be rescued. They took victory. The plan was unfolded, and God got the glory after 40 years of wandering in the desert. So there's this really interesting thing that happens. We can receive the instruction. We're like, okay, I can do that. I can pray for that person. I can take that guy to church. I can love on my husband, who I don't really love. I can help my kid, who's a prodigal. I can pray for them. I can trust you, Lord, for my finances. I can trust you for that healing. I can trust you for my loneliness. Whatever wall or impediment or anything that is in your way, we can trust him. And so we wait on the Lord in that trusting time. And when the time comes, God's going to give us the time to unfold that instruction. Okay, now I want you to do this, and you need to obey. It is so critical that we obey, that we actually take a step and do what he's telling us to do, as hard as it is. There's some hard people in our lives. There's some hard situations that people are facing. I just look in my own personal home, the things that I face. I know that you guys have 10 times more than that. And yet, God can conquer any one of those walls. He can bring it down. But the interesting thing is, it's always in his timing, because there's a work that we don't see that he's doing. There's an unseen work that he's doing, always, no matter what your situation is. He is always at work, and we can trust him that he is. So when the time came, Joshua obeyed, the people obeyed, the priests obeyed, and then the battle ensued. And sometimes the battle can be really, really hard and long. I know. I also had a sick son. I've had friendships go south. I've had, oh my gosh, so many years. I'm a carpenter's wife. Time we had no money. How is this bill going to get paid? But I have a faithful God who sees everything and is in working in all the unseen. Just recently, I was waiting for some money to come through. Waited 9 months for it to come through. And it came through when my husband was out of work for 2 weeks. So the timing of God is incredible always. And we need to make sure that we're not impeding that ourselves and we're not just believing, oh yeah, I believe his word, and not doing what he tells us to do. There's a lot of hard things he tells us to do, especially loving someone that's unloving, loving someone that's mean, loving someone that's hard or that doesn't deserve to be loved. So after that battle ensued, the plan unfolds, and I love that aha moment where you see what God's been doing all this whole time. You know, God's been working, and my dad, he was working humility. His poor little body, he had a knee amputated to here. His eyesight was, he was legally blind. He had a heart attack. He was on dialysis. He had his other foot got partially amputated. He was crawling up the stairs. He just was a pitiful person physically. He was a great guy, but he didn't trust the Lord, and he hated the Lord, and he despised everything that God had given him. Backstory, my dad had rights. His dad was very cruel to him. His brother died, his beautiful brother, my Uncle Wally, died when he was 21 years old, and he held all these horrible things against the Lord. People have reasons that they are the way they are. And at the same time, we have this super compassionate God who sees my dad, and he loves him, and he is the hound of heaven after those we love. He's so good, and he's so faithful. And just like this evil city, full of horrible, horrible things that may seem kind of cruel that God would ask that city to be burned, but you have to burn it down. You have to get rid of it. You have to get rid of the sin in order to move forward and to start anew and to walk into that promised land. There's so many pictures in this. Oh my gosh, I can go on forever. You guys know all the possessing the promises, getting the walls, the battle, the victory, and faith, all these things. But I think the word that the Lord has for us tonight is to listen to that instruction and obey it. Do it this year, this 2018 year. If God's calling you to get rid of something in your life, get rid of it. If he's calling you to fast and pray for someone who's mentally ill, do it. It's so worth it. It's really, really worth it. There's an eternity coming soon. Heaven coming soon. One little cool fact, I was reading an article on this. I guess you can see pictures on the internet of the boundaries and how the wall was set up and everything. And, you know, the archaeologists come in and they know everything and they know, you know, an earthquake probably did this. And, you know, they have all their theories and everything. What was really interesting is that underneath the rubble and the ashes and the brick and everything, when they dug down, they found cisterns of grain and cisterns of untouched things that were never looted that God told them not to loot. And just another Bible proof that they obeyed the Lord and the Lord brought them into the promised land, into the promises. So I have a couple of things I just want to give you as like a takeaway. God has already given the promises, so we need to claim them. I have a promise for one of my children, and it's such a sweet promise that God is going to return her to the song of her youth. And I can claim that promise. I don't know when it's going to happen, how long I'll have to wait, what she'll have to go through, what I'll have to go through, but I can claim it. He's going to do it. He gave it to me, and I took it. So if he has given you a promise, claim it. If not, ask him for one. He's really faithful to do that when you're reading. Just take one. You can cash it in and bank on it. Maybe even sometimes just identifying your walls. What are the impediments in your life? Write it down, put it in a prayer book, and start praying for that wall to come down. Man, there's office workers that just need Jesus. I've got neighbors that need Jesus so desperately. And then what keeps us from obeying his instruction? Is it fear? Are you ashamed? Are you guilty? You know, I had to confess something to my husband about a month ago, and the Lord kept telling me to do it, and I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. It's so embarrassing. And I took all the nerve I had to do this, and I confessed it to him, and I was free of it. It wasn't bothering me anymore, and he was happy to receive it, and he was thankful that I told him. And I just think of just being obedient even in the little things that the Lord's telling you to do, that he's convicting you of, or maybe he wants you to get involved in something, and, you know, that's too big. I can't do that. I can't step into that. But just try to obey him, just step by step, and he's really faithful to lead us. So what I need to do is fulfill the condition that he gives me. He said, I want you to smile. I want you to reach out. I want you to open your word. I want you to go pray with that woman who's sitting on the bench over there. You know, sometimes it's little strange, fun things. And our expectation is in him. So we need to trust him and obey him. And we trust him by going through hard things, because we build this faith of like, okay, you did that before, just like the children of Israel. We saw what you've done before. We're going to just trust. People around have heard. Remember the people in the city of Jericho? They had all heard what happened. That they, oh my gosh, the God of Israel. And I can't even imagine what it was like for the people in the city, in the walls, like seeing this people march around their city. I would freak out, man. What are they doing? And they're quiet, and they're not saying anything. But it was a great evil city, and God needed to get rid of it. So we need to trust him and obey him. And so I hope that was a word for someone tonight, to be obedient to the instruction that God has given you. And, you know, in the back of your book there, where it, your little study guide, where it has the end, it says, like, God, what did it say about God? What did it say about, you know, the different characters in the story? I went and I wrote that out, and I hope this isn't corny, because I'm not like a poet or anything. But when I finished writing out the little descriptions on the last few, you know, I think it's day six, it sounded really cool. So I put it into a little silly poem, and I hope it blesses you. Do you know the God of Jericho, who pulls down fortress walls? Timely, proper, true his plans, whatever harm befalls. See, he says to us, believe, this holy righteous judge, full of sparing mercy, love, the surest victory ours. Put your active faith in him and do just what he says. Silent marching, wait, then shout, walk straight up in victory. Do you trust the God of Jericho, who pulls down all our walls? Bank on all his promises and obey him when he calls. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray for every single person in this room, Lord, that whatever you're speaking to them right now, Lord, whatever you want them to do, however long you want them to wait, Lord, that they would obey you, that I would obey you. God, we know your ways are good and true and righteous, and we know they're the best for us. So, Lord Jesus, would you please help us? Help our unbelief. Man, in those hard situations, God, I pray, in hard marriages, in waiting for salvation for relatives and friends, in those prodigal children, in the hard job situation, in the loneliness and despair, in the pain and suffering of this world, Lord. We're going to trust you this year. We're going to trust you, and we're going to walk forward, and we're going to ask you to take down the wall. And we're going to claim the promises that you've given to us, because your promises are yes and amen. So God, I just pray that you'd bless and touch each person in this room tonight. And I pray that we'd minister to one another and pray with each other. And Lord, that we'd have great courage and boldness. In Jesus' name, amen.